The border is not a natural situation.
It's really a violent political way of controlling where people
and
go. Forcing where people go. And it's something that we cannot control. The experience of border crossing is really a physical experience. And it's an experience where the mind is of no help. It's a body that has to pass. And there is this old virtual apparatus through in the computer of all your whole existence reduced on a screen that the officer sees and you have no means to see because it's a black screen. And then there is the body. One is the whole record that they have in front of them, and you're wondering what is that record about. But then it's your physical presence that is just reduced to that fear, and let me just do this, take this step and pass the line, just let me go. Well, you know, there are little details that change.
The rules that apparently change over time, but it's always the same feeling that
it's always the same feeling of being completely powerless, and the fact that it's a violation of your privacy, of your identity. And that's something repeated. I think it's something that's the same for everybody. And in which you have to hide, or your emotional situation doesn't play any role officially in that act of crossing the border. It's something that can't appear on the outside in your face or in your gestures. And that's something that for me is a terrible thing, because I think the result is that sort of aggressiveness that I feel from the officers or the immigration people, then it's something that I project and comes out of me, so I become aggressive. Then it's something that
why do
I
really want to cross?
What if I get rejected? Why do I really have to go through? And the fact is that sort of double existence. It's a life split in two, so you need to have the other part. That's a sort of blackmail that immigration or that border uses, that people have. Then it's something that
because
I
of
family, because
out
of
me.
So I their work, because of resources, you have to cross that border. It's really a matter of surviving, physically, materially, or emotionally. You're looking at the camera, you're looking at the person who is asking you the questions, and I think I can fake my thoughts. I think my eyes don't convey what I really think or feel, or all the hate or emotions or fear or hopes. And you're also wondering, is this how they see if you're a criminal or not?
You have to cross that border.
Or a terrorist?
It's really a matter of surviving, physically, materially, or emotionally.
There is a suspect and the fear that they are not just getting a physical, that they're really intruding and getting close. And but I think I always have the sense I can trick and think of something different.
That
I can
thought is stronger
that
than
the idea
that
behind that barrier of energy, there is your mind that is a totally private.
That's the answer, the way in which you formulate
thought
your thoughts. Correspond
they can
to the image of your eye. You can think, well, your eye conveys the emotions that you have, but is that what they want? What kind of identity is going to be construed in their
black monitor down on the other side. I think that I am still in control. Or maybe that's only a fantasy, but I feel I am in control and fear shuts down. I think there is still an idea that you can exercise a control and push that intrusion away. Because that's the most, I mean, that's the only center that you have. That's you.
But
that's
the eye
is a very strange mechanism, because I don't know what the other person thinks, and yet by looking into the eyes,
there this feels
I'm already trying to capture something. That's the most expressive part. So I'm thinking that through the eyes, somehow
there
I can capture
a thought.
According to which to look another person.
But then,
in the if you're staring
sort of
into someone else's
eyes,
it's a sort of contact.
So
it's not like staring into an
idea.
Of
I knew how to engage
towards the other,
the officer's eyes.
The idea that you can harm.
But I don't know how to deal
do
with
do
that camera.
I think that what happened is a replacement.
That the eye is an extremely
sort of
individual
instrument that you cannot decipher
with another,
and the instrument instead is
but obviously
capturing
the mechanization.
So it's no longer
taking away that whole.
And there is no
here
contact that you are establishing. So you feel you're crossing the border and getting in at the expense of having left something behind. You don't even know what exactly.
It is a privileged situation to be able to have a plan, because it implies that you are at peace with a lot of little details, that those details don't really disrupt your life. But the initial experience of displacement is an experience in which all those details are all you have to worry about. So it's not just all
being
you
nomadic
have to worry about and changing place, but being forced to do so according to rules that who knows what they are. I think is the intellectual reaction is to create a different system of orientation that creates a sort of freedom that counteracts that constraint of the external borders. It is a sort of way of organizing a world that makes sense, maybe a sort of private intellectual world, but has also a dimension that is not so private. So you can live in the labyrinth only if you know how to find a way out, or you have the hope of building a way, a path to
and
a
maybe
way
that's
out
a path that
only you know, and certainly you're not going to disclose to the border officer, but is a sort of alternative. There is a maybe unconscious desire of being uprooted that is also the searching for something that is different, and there is a hope of finding that something somewhere else. The territory is a sort of extension, almost, of our bodies.
What
and it's an issue about boundaries. And what happens when you step outside those boundaries? You're constantly forced to compromise. Compromise, adjust, assimilate. It's really a matter of constant redefinition. So it's your territory should be defined internally by its own value, not by the fact that you constantly need to assert those borders against something that is threatening it from the outside.
Assimilate.
So if you're too much concerned about defending that territory, defending those borders, it means you have lost already.
if you're talking about what the value of a human life is, are you measuring it in relation to something, to some parameters, to some already given box?
Absolutely, in and for itself as such.
Are you situating that life somewhere in relation to some values or something?
Of its belonging to a certain compartment, to a certain territory, to a certain nationality, to a certain, you know what I'm talking about?
The outpost is something that doesn't merge. It's keeping very strongly its own identity. And to keep that identity in the most advanced or risky, usurping situation, you want to prove something. You want to prove that you can withstand influence, assimilation, and yet you end up having to give up. The outpost is a position that doesn't want to pass, that refuses to pass, refuses to merge, refuses to have the experience of that crossing, and yet wants to put itself within someone else's territory without having that experience of crossing. I can just implant myself here, be within your territory, but I don't have to cross a border, because I'm the one who decides where the border is. So the outpost is a rigid position that doesn't want to go through the experience of crossing the border. But the whole issue, I think, is that that's impossible. It's going to have that experience,
even if it doesn't want it.
You can't be impenetrable. Once you're out there, influences are in both ways. It doesn't matter how thought out and rigid and strong your plan is, that puts you in a position of particular vulnerability, even if you don't want to acknowledge that. You're usurping a territory that is not yours. And that in itself puts you in a position in which you really don't know what you have to confront. You have the most sophisticated plan, and you can have a plan that is completely electronically commanded from your own territory, but it's not going to work. Is that putting yourself out there in a moral position, or does it require that you are oblivious of the moral implications of what you're doing? Having to face more and more material obstacles, you can't deny that the plan has to be modified. You can't be stubborn as you want, but the more you insist, the more you have to acknowledge that you have to compromise, or you have to take a step backwards, or you have to change those boundaries. You have to modify the territory that you're occupying. I think there must be a will to attract. That's what power is, ultimately. Everybody's watching you. You can't be inconspicuous. You put yourself in a position. You can't be innocent and say, well, I'm just out there and
Now it happens that everybody's watching me. But what others are watching ends up being how your plan develops. What is registered is never your original plan. It's just how your plan confronts the circumstances. So it's not always a good thing to be watched by everybody. What is that everybody registers and sees of me, outpost out there? That's what it means to be at the center of the attention, but also being particularly vulnerable. I mean, there are two faces to this mission. Do I really want that everybody sees what is happening?
So that territory functions theoretically only because it's completely cut off from any kind of causal explanation.
And it's also cut off from any kind of other,
it's like
geography.
A place nowhere, really. And that has a correspondence.
Has a sort of parallel, exactly parallel logic in what the construction of a monument is, that focalizes the attention and the memory on a certain event without giving an explanation of why that event became a monument. So there is a correspondence between the construction of a territory that is outside any kind of real geography and the construction of a monument in which any sort of historical relation to historical events, to a past and to a series of causes and effects is completely deleted. The isolation is not just for
isolation
aesthetic.
Is meant to
it's
make
a
people,
whole political
instead of
intention.
Remember,
make people forget.
The monument in remembrance of something, and it's actually meant to have people forget something else. So that they can behave in a certain way, so that certain actions that follow can be justified, have their reason in that monument. And the same thing happens with that territorial island that is completely disconnected
the
from
reality. The more
the reality, the more that
is
disconnected,
the more
you can justify things done for the sake of defending
it's a sort of
that opposite
territory.
Logic that you think that the monument is there in remembrance or for remembering or for memory, and the more you fixate yourself on the memory and the less authentic and real the event that you're remembering is. But all that has a sort of instrumental function in order to justify it's a sort of
something
fiction
else.
And to be in a realm of fiction is it's very convenient when
we're talking about is
you want to skip the process
the
of confronting reality
as a sort of fictitious entity.
And to me that really it's a parallel to the erasing the historical connection. And so there is something perverse about the idea that the monument is there in order for you to remember, so in order for you to become conscious of a history, and instead it really has the opposite function. It's something that makes you forget
where
it makes you oblivious of the fact that there is a reality around.